Hey everyone, my name is Scott Ledden. I'm a partner with Greenford Construction. And for those who aren't familiar with Greenford, we're a commercial contractor that has been working in the GTA for 29 years. And today we're going to answer some questions that we were asked commonly. And today we're going to be talking about, have you ever built interconnecting stairs? And I'm pleased to say that the answer is yes, we've done many interconnecting stairs. And the first thing I want to talk about is why a customer considers having an interconnecting stair. And the reason is that research shows that stairs are a great place for informal meetings between employees where lots of information transfer takes place. They're considered social, and they've been shown to improve employee engagement, employee retention, and employee satisfaction. So today I have Patrick Barker from Greenford Construction, project manager, who's built a lot of stairs. And I have Ed from Pengelly Ironworks, who we've done a lot of work with on our stairs. Yeah. And we're going to have just a discussion about the process around building stairs. So Patrick, the first thing I want to ask you is, when you are on a project and you hear that the customer is considering an interconnecting stair, what specifically do you think they need to understand about the process?
I mean, in my perspective from a project manager, the first thing I think about when we talk about an interconnecting stairs is the timeline to execute. The customer sees their project as a whole to deliver their move-in ready into their new office space. But what they really need to understand is the interconnecting stair is much more complicated from a planning, coordination, and execution perspective from start to finish. In doing so, we like to bring on a design partner or a design assist partner such as Pengelly early in the process. Because as good as the consulting teams are and as knowledgeable as they can be, the fabrication, the delivery, and execution is just as critical to how to deliver the interconnecting stair. Which is why Edward is a great design partner to Greenford and having worked together several times delivering many interconnecting stairs.
So Ed, Patrick mentioned you as a great partner. You've done this many times. From a trades perspective, you hear interconnecting stairs, you get the call from Greenford, hey, we've got a project, there's going to be a stair involved. Obviously you're happy because that's the business that you're in.
Right.
What are the things you need to know from a trades perspective? Right, up front.
Well, first of all, we look at the drawings that was issued. We see if it ties up with the code.
Right? Okay.
Firstly, if it matches up with the code, try and bring up any issues regarding the code. For us, it's a question of accessibility. And at the end, it is a feature. So access is the most important thing on the stair for us.
Mm-hmm.
The feature will come after.
Mm-hmm.
Issues we have is if it's a new building, we will obviously try and come out before anything is designed or drawn to take measurements, have a look, see what the differences are in concrete elevations, interferences, and everything else.
So I hold you there for 1 second.
Yeah.
When you are brought into the project, is the stair typically designed already, or you try to get in? Because,
well,
I mean, the designer must, there's different types of stairs. There's
right,
a straight run, there's one
there's
with a landing, there's this type of thing. So
switchback, there's curved stairs, there's spirals, there's all sorts of types of stairs. So we would like to look at the concept first,
okay,
from the design point of view, and then to see if it does make any sense, the design. If not, we'll bring that to the attention to the owner, the architect, and yourselves. And we'll say, well, can we adjust this, do any modifications? And then from that point, we'll produce a set of drawings,
mm-hmm,
based on the site conditions that we've looked at. And from there, everybody tweaks and does what they have to do. Ultimately, we would like to have the stair produced in-house prior to going to site as much as possible to save time in the field.
Okay, and so it's much more efficient, I assume, to produce things in your shop than it is on site.
It takes a bit longer in the shop, but mm-hmm, field-wise, it will cut the time down. It's difficult sometimes to get all the coordination done and getting everybody on board, but at the end of the day, we tend to manage that with the help of the GCs and everybody else.
So how do you balance the wishes of the designer, who's put a lot of time and effort into the aesthetics of things, versus the practicality of building? I mean, you must have to literally consider the type of stair relative to the size of the freight elevator, for example, of how big pieces you can get in. And if you can't get the entire straight run stair in, then I assume you have to do some welding on site.
Yeah.
And that poses challenges from Patrick's point of view about organizing that type of work on site, I assume. So It's really a cohesive effort that takes a lot of coordination, it sounds like.
That is a big component of it. I mean, that's one of the first questions we do ask is, how big is the elevator? How big is this space?
Okay.
Can a window be opened? Can we hoist the thing through with a crane?
Right.
You know, is it possible? Is it not possible? So all those factors come into play beforehand. Mm-hmm. And, you know, based on those conditions, that's how we will design, make this there. Obviously, the smaller the components, the more work it is on site because of access.
Right.
So ultimately, the larger the piece, the easier it is to get it in and more accurate.
Okay.
So
yeah. I would also add, just from the constructability standpoint, I mean, our job is to make sure that we can build these things safely, efficiently, in as quick a timeline as possible. But by bringing a team like Ed and myself in early, our goal is also to make sure that we understand what the designer's intent is, what they want to achieve with the end result, and actually help them get to what they're looking for.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, the consulting team has really great conceptual ideas of what they want this thing to look like, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they know how it goes together and how we're actually going to deliver on the job site. Likewise, from a structural engineer, they may not be concerned about how the stair looks at all. So we're there to help both parties marry up the functional aspect of the stair relative to what the customer is gonna see at the end of the project. Because ultimately, this is going to be their showpiece for their project.
Correct, yeah.
This is going to be the focal point. It's usually in their reception area, or it would be in their lunchroom or staff areas, and they're really trying to highlight their entire project around an interconnecting stair.
And so tell me, from a site execution point of view, Patrick, what is the process? You roll into a building, let's say it's in base building condition, you're on floors 11 and 12, you're putting a staircase in between. How do you begin the execution? What has to happen? I mean, obviously you got to cut the slab somehow, but you can't just go in with a saw. Like, describe that process if you don't mind.
Well, from a site perspective, the first thing we want to do is get an understanding of what the space looks like when we get there, day one. We want to understand what is in the ceiling space, whether it be a ductwork, a sprinkler line, conduits, interferences in the structural slab. So our goal is to make sure we understand what is there and what needs to be relocated away from the stair opening.
Mm-hmm.
So we bring all our trades in early before a team like Pengelly ever gets there to reroute services away from the staircase. That's also part of the design team's goal, is to make sure that there's nothing in the way of the stairs that we're trying to be able to build. There is quite an extensive period of time where, from a site progress perspective, it doesn't necessarily look like a lot has happened, but that whole rerouting and making sure we're investigating properly is a big component to making sure things go smoothly. Before we can actually start the stair fabrication, there's a lot of work involved in structurally supporting the concrete slab. We have to make sure that not only when we're building this, but when we walk away, that when we cut a big hole in a building, that slab is properly supported and that stair is properly supported structurally before we can even start to put anything into place.
So if I can just stop you there. So you're looking up here, you're looking up at the ceiling above, and you say, I assume you probably have to x-ray and make sure there's nothing in the floor that you're going to be cutting through, I assume. And then you say, okay, you mark out on the floor we're going to be cutting. You must go down to the floor beneath and put some beams in that are going to support the floor that is around the cut. So that's the first thing you have to do. I assume the landlord is quite interested in, has a vested interest in making sure that everything's done so it's their building is not damaged and everything else and nobody else is affected. So that requires a ton of coordination. And then you actually get some folks in there. Once it's support underneath, then you make the cut.
And there's a lot to it. even at that point, making sure that you have the safety and protection around where the opening is going to be. You have to make sure that everything is safe for the workers, safe for anybody visiting the job site.
And so that requires hoarding, I assume?
It'll be a combination of hoarding, barriers,
right.
Inspections. Usually we have our third party consultant, or we have our safety inspection team come in and investigate. Pengelly would do the same thing, make sure that the workers are working safely and that everything is protected from potential risk and hazard to anybody on the job site.
Okay. And then, so Ed, are you involved extensively prior to the cut?
Actually, I am, because I think what we do, we tend to generally do a layout of where the stair is.
Okay.
It's not the final layout, but we have an idea. We we would like to draw a couple of holes.
Okay.
To measure the thickness of the slab and to see the elevations on that particular floor.
And how precise are you talking about? Because there's always deviation in the slabs. I mean, for a stair, is it an inch? Is it half an inch? Is it 2 inches? What kind of tolerances are you talking about?
We're talking probably about half an inch.
Okay.
Right.
So it's got to be pretty accurate. Yeah.
So we do that first, and then we bring all those results back to the office, and we start doing
the design drawing
and all that, right?
Okay.
And then at the same time, if we can, we're going to look at the structure below to see if we can measure, do anything with the steel work for supporting the slab. And for us, I think the most critical part is not that portion, it's the occupied space below where you have a tenant there.
Yeah.
And we have to go and support that. That for us is the biggest issue.
And how do you manage that?
Well, that is a lot of coordination because you need to coordinate with the tenant. You need to, it probably works in the evenings or weekends only. You can go in.
Yeah, from
a pressurized little space.
Yeah, from a general contractor's perspective, you're working very closely with property managers and landlords because you're basically going into another tenant's space and causing some temporary damages and temporary openings in order to ensure you can properly support your steel. And you don't always know what's below that.
No, you don't.
So is that a surprise? So you sort of go, okay, now we got to go on to the 10th floor and see what's going on. You remove some T-bar ceiling and you go, oh God, we got this.
You want to know that before you get there. You want to know what room you're working over top of. And more often than not, it's the customer's boardroom table.
Yeah.
Their staff lunchroom or literally the most important part of their space. And you have to be very respectful of where you're working relative to being able to satisfy your own customer while not causing damage to relationships on floors below.
And throughout the process, there's got to be inspections. No one's going to let you get to the very end to go, okay, have a look. I mean, I'm assuming that before you cut the hole, they're inspecting the support. Then you cut the hole, and I guess they look and go, I mean, who's coming in to inspect? Is it only the landlord? Is it the City of Toronto that has to come in to inspect things?
There are a lot of parties interested in the inspection of a staircase. We have weld inspections to make sure that the quality of work is sufficient for sign-off by usually a third-party welding inspector. We'll have the structural engineer who designed the stair with Pengelly to come in and make sure that what they're doing is being executed as per their design. We will at the end likely have to do some sort of fire treatment around the stairs depending on the type of building and the type of application. That could involve doing some fire spray and different intumescent
sprinklers. I assume sprinkler coverage is effective.
Sprinkler coverage 100%, and all of those have to be reviewed, approved, and signed off before you can start to close in your permanent architectural finishes. Right.
So all this to say, a typical job for us, regardless of size, is 12 to 14 weeks for the interior fit out. It sounds like a customer says, I want an interconnecting stair, and they expect it to be done in relatively short order. What is the average duration of time somebody should expect a stair to take? I know it's a loaded question because there's all kinds of different stairs, but if you took, you know, a typical stair that you folks have been involved with, start to finish, mapping out where the hole is going to go, all the building services, is it possible to come up with a ballpark that you'd feel comfortable telling a customer, if you're thinking of an interconnecting stair, please consider this much time? Patrick, I'll go with you first. What do you think?
To be honest with you, I'd say it's a bit of a loaded question because at the end of the day, you can do a very basic stair with some very basic finishes, glass and some painted metal, or you can get into some very complex finishes that may involve other trades after.
Millwork trades after the fact.
Yeah, millwork trade that would come in.
Feature walls, I've heard of all this. Yeah.
And part of the problem with that, Scott, is when you're actually trying to execute, everybody's like, okay, build the millwork while you're building the stairs.
All on top of it.
But we're talking about very tight tolerances. You know, Ed mentioned half an inch. We have cases where we're dealing with an eighth of an inch between materials. Yeah. And the millworker is not going to come in and start to build their custom wall until they know where Ed and his team are going to land with the structure of the stairs.
So you got to build the structure of the stair. You got to understand the tread finish for height and the riser, I suppose. It depends on exactly the level of finish.
Normally it's incorporated in the drawing, but there is a bit of a hesitant. People are a little bit hesitant because I'm welding. It might move. It might change. And if they pre-cut, pre-fit everything, it might not work. But we've done it before.
Mm-hmm. I guess it depends on just how tight they want it to be.
Right,
if they're the smaller tolerance, the more risk there is to build it in advance.
We've done stairs before in the shop where we called in the millwork tilers. They came in pre-measured because, you know, once that was solid, it was not going to move anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a fixed item.
Right.
So that helped a little bit with the schedule and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, it doesn't really...
Yeah, and I would say the other part of what we're talking about is, you know, get your team in early.
Yeah.
It's one thing to have it on paper.
Yeah.
To get the team that's going to be building it into the table early in the process allows us to advance the conversations about site investigations, checking into things, drilling pilot holes, getting heights. Anything that you can do before the project gets started is going to save you in the overall timeline of the project.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of details.
There's a lot of details. And I think that's what people, I think commercial construction, is, it seems to be a lot more in depth than residential, which is typically what most people are involved with. They say, okay, I've decided to do this, go ahead and do it. And they expect it to be done pretty quick. It's not the same in commercial. There's so many different people that are involved, the landlord and all the inspections.
It's a lot more liability.
A lot more liability. And it just takes a lot longer. So in summary, you know, interconnecting stairs are an attribute that are highly valued in office spaces. Greenford's proud to say we've built many in association with Mengele Ironworks in many cases. But it really involves getting involved early, making sure the team is coordinated and working together, and that everybody is aware that no matter how quick you think you can do it, there's a process to follow, and it's going to take time. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
It's wonderful.
That's what it is.
That's what it is. All right, thanks, Patrick. I really appreciate you taking the time to join us today, and Ed, specifically to you as
thank
a
you.
Trusted trade. Really appreciate your time here
you.
Today. Not only that, but all your work on site. Really appreciate
thank
your
you.
Partnership
thank
over
you.
The
thanks
years.
For all of that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thanks, guys.